Rainmaker FM.
And now, for members only, I'm your host, Sean Jackson. I want you to do a thought exercise with me. Don't worry, your brain won't explode. I want you to think about money. Now, if you're like most people, you probably think you have too little. Or maybe you think you're okay right now, but could always use a little more. Basically, you are thinking in terms of you. How money impacts you and your life, right? But I want to change your thinking if you own an online business or make most of your money from selling digital goods online. What if money, specifically the money you make from your online efforts, was not about you? What if money was actually a vote by your customer on whether they approve of your efforts? In a very real sense, your online audience is indicating, with their very own hard-earned dollars, whether your messaging is resonating with them. And let's take this analogy one step further. What if their ballot for voting is your actual purchase page, not the product page on your site, but the actual page they enter their payment details on? After all, if money is a vote, then the purchase page is where they place their vote. So how is your purchase page on your site? Is it clean and simple? Does it build trust? And what about your thank you page after the sale is made? Is it more than just a simple thank you and here's what you ordered? That brings up a great story. Many years ago, Brian Clark and I participated in a freeform discussion in front of a sold-out theater at a social media club event. During the Q&A, a member of the audience asked Brian what was the single most important metric he followed in running an online business. Was it visits, clicks, users, likes, retweets, etc.? Without missing a beat, Brian immediately responded with a one-word answer, money. So if money is a key metric for gauging your site's success and represents a vote by your audience about your efforts, how is your voting ballot? In this episode, Jessica and I deep dive into the key elements you must have on your purchase page to make it easy for people to support your efforts with their dollars. So stay tuned. Welcome to Members Only, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the very frugal Jessica Frick. Jessica, how the frick are you?
I am frugal. How the Jackson are you?
Oh, I am well. I am well, as always. And I'm going to warn our audience about today's episode. We need to put this disclaimer on the front of the show. Because so many of the shows that we've done are, I would say, aspirational and inspirational, right? And we've had a few tactical things. This show is really tactical. I mean, this is really for the people who want to make money from their membership system, from selling digital goods online. If you are not really serious about making money, this show is going to be really boring for you. Okay. So I just want that out of the way. Don't blame me later. Don't send me a comment saying, what a boring show. Because, you know, Jess, I'm the finance guy here at the company. You know, I deal with money every single day. You know, this is a topic I'm fairly passionate about and know a lot about. And yet it is so nuanced that if you haven't even set up a membership site, if you're not even selling anything online, you're just going to be glazing over this entire show. Okay. Is that a good enough warning, Jess?
I completely agree.
Okay. So
on the flip side, though, the exciting thing is you can put this to use today.
Yeah, it is. This is the episode that you can put to use today. And the best part is if you set it up right, then you're going to be tweaking it over time. But this is actually an investment. This is when, you know, if you're thinking of a membership system or a digital good delivery system as a building, this is really the front door foundation, right? I mean, this is right on the first floor. You walk in. This is where everybody's like, I love this place so much, I want to give you my money. So, Jess, I'm going to let you interview me because I think that would be the best format. And with our disclaimer out of the way, let's get into the show.
So, Sean, we've nailed our landing page. We've got our lists going. We've created the products and the offers. What is keeping us from making that money?
Your purchase page sucks.
You know, when you say purchase page, you mean like the place where we go and put our information in, or what
yes,
are you talking about?
I'm actually talking about if you set up, let's say, you know, we did an episode about how to do pricing and you set up your bundles, right? Or you set up your membership packages or you set up whatever, right? That's kind of the product page where you're getting people, the primary action is to buy. This is the purchase page. This is the place where they're actually going to put in their credit card or PayPal details. But I want to go back one step from that, because we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about that one page and all the nuances of it. But I want to go and talk about the page post sale that you've already got the money.
I think the thank you page.
Yeah, it really is the thank you page. What does that actually look like? Because here's what drives me crazy. I don't think we spend enough time universally on that thank you page. Think about it this way. When you go to a casino and you put money into a slot machine, right? Even if you lose, there's still some excitement, right? You know, and if you win, there's a whole bunch of excitement. And they know that. That's part of the psychology of gaming. Is that I've just given you my money. I voted for your site by giving you my money. What does that page look like after I've just done probably one of the more important things on a membership or digital goods site? It's the thank you page. And I think there's things missing.
Like what?
Well, I think if you're selling a digital good and the purchase is to give you that digital good, let's say it's an ebook. I don't think it's enough just to put the ebook there to download, right? I actually think you should actually go a little bit more. Give them something either unexpected or something that adds and enhances the value. So let me give you some ideas that you could go away with. The first thing is video. I don't think enough thank you pages take advantage of video. A video of you thanking them. A video of you helping them navigate around the membership site. A video saying how they can take this digital good they just bought and take it to the next level. Now, it doesn't have to be a video, but I think in our media world now, where video is truly the primary way that people are engaging, certainly in mobile devices and on their desktop, I think a video, and it doesn't have to be long, but just something extra unexpected. Or if it's a digital book, right, an ebook, give them another one. Just don't, it's something out of the blue. By the way, this is the tack on. This is the workbook that complements this. This is something extra that you can put in. Jess, what are your ideas? What do you think that could be something extra, unexpected that you could put on that thank you page?
I'm laughing over here thinking of a GIF of our CFO dancing the running man. Thanks for your money.
Yes, nothing that crass, I would hope. But
oh, I think you would do a good running man. Okay, maybe some other form of breakdance.
There you
go. But, you know, something funny, something that says, we're human and we totally are grateful.
Yeah. I mean,
here's what you do next.
Yeah. Let's take that one step further. Here is a telephone number that you can call us. Okay. If you have questions, call us. That would be highly unexpected, especially in the digital storefronts, because a lot of times we don't put our telephone numbers on there. A telephone number here, a chat box immediately going through and saying, hey, I'm ready to talk to you right now. You just made it. In other words, I think the thank you page is not just about instructing them where to go next, but giving them something unexpected that makes them feel like that transaction they just did actually is something that they get immediate responsiveness to. And I think that's really what it comes down to. The thank you page is about immediate responsiveness. It's not just about sending them an email right afterwards, which you should do. Every thank you page better have an email trigger in there, right? And it shouldn't be just a thank you for now you can access, click here to go to our membership site. I mean, that is so blasé and so unprepared for the experience that I think you have to go further than that. So the first thing that I would argue in thinking about the actual buying or the shopping process is really spend a lot of time on that thank you page and do something extraordinary and out of the ordinary that really makes them feel like that transaction they just did, they got some immediate feedback that was unexpected. So that's kind of the first thing that I would take a look at.
Okay. So you would back into it. You would kind of think about your thank you page first, but when people are checking out, okay, so here's a big question for you, Sean. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this done both ways, and I would love for you to explain why you would want it each way. But when people are checking out, do you want that single product or single bundle checkout, or do you want a cart?
No carts. Okay, let me, yeah, no cards. Okay, you are
I'm
not
sorry.
Amazon.
I don't understand where you stand on this.
You are not Amazon. You are not selling in e-commerce. You're not trying to get a bundle of things together. So many of the shopping carts out there are that just that. They're shopping carts. They're designed for e-commerce. Digital goods are uniquely different. And putting people back into the shopping process versus the actual purchase process, I think, is a misstep. If you have multiple things, bundle them together on the product page. This is our bundle. If you buy this, you get this and this and this, and make that a singleized transaction. Because if you are trying to use those shopping cart, like how many quantities of ebooks would you like? Really? Really? How many quantities of ebooks are you can't just let the person make a copy of it? I mean, these things, to me, really are both distracting and harmful. So if you have multiple items you want to put together, create a bundle as a product, and that becomes the focus of the actual purchase page. No carts. No carts.
Okay. Now, what about coupons and discounts? Where did those play into your checkout page?
So I think promotions and I think discounting is, and we had a whole show about that, is hugely important. Okay. Here's the problem with it. The moment that you put a box on a page that says, enter your coupon here, what's going to happen when you do that, Jess?
Well, I don't know about you, but the minute I see a coupon box, I go looking for a coupon.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what happens. People leave the purchase page, which you do not want them to do. So here, if you absolutely have to have a coupon box or a promotion box or something on there, here's what you do. Just put the coupon code in the box for them. If it's on the page, it has a purpose. So just go ahead and put it in there, right? Now, that could be something through the URL string, right? That's certainly, there's programming techniques that can do it. It could be based on the URL that they came from. But if you're going to have to put it on there, if you really, really want it on there, then go ahead and just put the code in there. Now, some systems will allow you to have unique URLs that go to different pages that are will have the discounting baked in. But I do want to step back just a little bit because that's an important part, because we're really talking about the structure of the purchase page, which is really what this episode's about. And I want to back up in thinking about that purchase page in a little bit more of a holistic fashion. Because there is a purchase page, there's a product page that drives the call to action to the purchase page. So let's back up for a second. So Jess, do you think that PayPal by itself is enough?
Absolutely not.
Right.
Some people don't have PayPal.
Exactly. What I want to tell a little background story. When we created the company back in 2010, some of our products were PayPal only, some of which were credit card only. We increased sales by 30% by purely putting both options on the page. Now, I want to go through just what a merchant account is for like 2 microseconds. And I warn the audience, by the way, this is the boring part of the show, but it really, really is important. When you actually have a merchant account, you can get one through your bank, there's Stripe, there's a lot of different ways of getting a merchant account. What you're basically saying, and the merchant bank is saying to you, is that we're going to trust you enough that we're going to allow you to take credit cards and we're going to give you that money even though the customer hasn't paid. A merchant account is kind of like a loan to you. But having a merchant account actually builds some credit for your business because it is kind of a loan. So go ahead and get that merchant account. You want to accept Visa and MasterCard and Discover, and by all means, American Express. Jess, you ever been to those restaurants or those places where like, we don't take American Express, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, there was a whole reason behind that, which is, I think, completely BS, which is American Express is a little higher fees and it's also a little longer to get your funding. That's how it used to be, okay? It's not that way anymore. And what we have found is that the more expensive an item is, the more inclined people are to use an American Express card. Isn't that crazy? So if it's cheaper, they tend to use PayPal, but if it's really expensive, they will tend to use American Express. Now, let me ask you, do you want to lose sales just because you don't want to take American Express? If you're charging someone, let's say, I don't know, $1,500 for a membership site, you really,
no.
I mean, you really can't afford that fee. I mean, after all, you set your own pricing. I mean, this is what drives me crazy is that, oh, I don't want to pay credit card fees. Then increase your price. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. And the other thing is that it's not all transactions. It will be portions of transactions that go to PayPal and go to credit card. So go get a merchant account and go create a PayPal account and give people both options. Now, when you do that, there's something that you're going to have to put on your site that actually matters a whole heck of a lot. And it actually relates to the purchase page. You're going to have to put on basically three pages, and they're always usually at the footer and sometimes on the checkout page itself. The very first one is the terms of service.
Oh, amen. How many sites don't have that?
Exactly. And they're actually really, really important, because your terms of service is what you are promising to somebody when they buy your product. Think about it. And if you steal it from somebody else's site, you may have to live with something that you can't actually afford to live with. But the beauty is, once you create up your terms of service, it's pretty static unless you make a major change. The second page that you're absolutely going to have is a refund policy. Because again, you're trying to build trust, and all merchant accounts will want to know that a customer who buys has the ability to refund, and you clearly outline it. Will you give them a refund in full? Is it impartial? What's the time period? Whatever you can live with. And the standard tends to be 30 days, right? But you have to have a refund page. How do people get a refund? What will you refund? Will you refund somebody if they've been with you 6 months and give them all their money back? Right? I mean, this is important.
But here's the thing, though, and important to be said, because some people don't offer refunds.
Right.
And merchants aren't going to turn you away if you don't offer refunds, so long as you're very clear up front.
Yeah.
However, that may cost you sales and trust.
That's right. And a refund is a great thing on a purchase page, saying, if you are not completely satisfied with what you're about to buy from me, we will give you a full 100% refund, no questions asked, right?
Yeah, it's eliminating the friction. Like, I'm a little afraid about this, but if I don't like it, at least I know I can get my money back.
Exactly. 100% guarantee. You can click, make that a hyperlink over to your refund page. The third page is the privacy policy. What are you going to do with the information that you are collecting from them? Okay. And I think, again, privacy policy needs to be both on the purchase page and the, so far as when, if somebody's giving you their email or their telephone number, you better have in the line right next to it, right around that box, we will never spam you. See our privacy policy. I mean, you better make a declarative statement of, we will not abuse the trust that you're about to and give us by sharing this information, and have a clear link over to that privacy policy. But the beauty is, once you put those pages in place, that's pretty much it. You're going to change them over time. But once you put them in, it's an important part of the checkout process. Here's what exactly you're getting. Here is our refund policy. So if you have any problems whatsoever, we're going to stand by it. And here's our privacy policy, because you're trusting us not to be complete jerks. And I think those are important parts of any page, especially around the refund, especially around privacy policy. Make sense?
Agreed. It does. So on other things that you should have on the page, I always see those, you know, images of like trusted website and like, mm-hmm. you know, the little award looking stickers. And
yeah.
Do those matter?
I think so, depending on your reputation. Okay. So I think it's very situational based. You know, when you're starting out, no one knows that you're not a bozo. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could be a complete scam artist. You could be completely somebody who is not trustworthy, because no one knows who the heck you are. So I think when you're starting out, I mean, in fact, when we started our company, we have a Better Business Bureau account. We've had it since the day we started. Even though we don't put it on our pages, it was important to us to let people know that, yes, there's someone else validating that I am not a bozo. I think when you put on the BBB sticker, you put on the trusted source, you put on security, et cetera. I think those are important, not the main focus, but you're building trust. I mean, you're about to ask someone for their credit card number. I mean, think about that. And almost even worse, because I can always cancel a credit card transaction, you're asking for their email, you know? I mean,
oh gosh, right?
Yeah. So I think you have to build some level of trust. And certainly these third-party validation is important, especially for an unknown site. Now, if you've got a fairly large reputation over time and people know you and you're fairly large enough, they become less important. You won't see a BBB sticker on the Apple checkout page, right? Because they don't need it. They're Apple. But I also think that if you're not that big, if you're not that known, they actually help. And by the way, speaking of, this is something that will absolutely turn sales off in about 2 seconds. Speaking of trust, if you don't have a security certificate on that checkout page.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, when I'm checking out somewhere and that warning pops up, you are going to an unsecure page.
Yeah.
Hell no, you're not getting my information.
Yeah. And in fact, if you're not watching that closely, I mean, that is one of the telltale signs that people are really ignoring the checkout process. And if they're ignoring the checkout process, that means they don't really care about your information.
Yeah, any host worth their weight can turn that on for you right quick.
Exactly. It is something that you absolutely have to have. And by the way, get a 3-year certificate. Don't futz around with a 1-year. Just get a 3-year certificate. I mean, there. Yes, it's more expensive. But, I mean, you don't want to sit there and be on vacation and realize your checkout page all of a sudden is throwing security warnings either, right?
Oh, my gosh. That's like the worst nightmare ever for a membership site.
Sure. Yeah, because then you're sitting there and you're scrambling to get it up when a 3-year certificate is, while more costly, if you're serious about this. And then again, I warned everybody about the show, didn't I, Jess? I mean, this is a serious conversation. This is
nuts and bolts stuff.
To use a term from the recent political things in the U.S., this is bigly, okay? This is bigly stuff that we're talking about. So,
was that out?
But I think it is so important. Security certificates, trust verification, those things actually matter. And they need to be on that page. What else, Jess?
Well, Sean, I think the last thing that I want to know is for a checkout page, I've seen it done where people actually have their information populated for them.
Yeah.
When is that a good idea?
Okay. So you really, there is, okay. So let's think of that structure of that page. First off, you need to have space allocated clearly to indicate here's exactly what you're buying. Okay. It needs to be very clear. It needs to be, you're getting this exact components. That checkout page needs to be clearly articulate what you're getting. But then once it clearly articulates it, once it establishes trust and authority through good, you know, privacy policies, et cetera, then the form fill in. Okay. I'm telling you now, folks, if you are a digital goods provider, if you are in D-commerce, not e-commerce, D-commerce, if you are selling a membership site, an ebook, any type of digital good, you do not need their address, period. Okay? Now, let me back up on that and explain why. The more fields that you have on a page, the higher the probability someone will abandon that page. It's just too much work. The more that you can do to help them not have to fill in a form, the better your conversion process. Now, Sean, I need to know at least some basic things, and you're right. At a minimum, you need probably their name, probably their email address, their credit card information, as well as their zip code. That's it. Because here's why. If I buy something from you and I dispute the charge, you don't have like a shipping receipt that you can say, oh, here, credit card company, I actually shipped them this thing. You don't have any of that. So what does an address give you? But Sean, don't we need to know more details about our customer? Yes. And here's a tip for a tool that we use that will make your life so much better. There's a tool out there called Clearbit API. Just put in Clearbit API. It actually works with Google Sheets too. You can take your purchase information, those name and email addresses, and Clearbit will give you all sorts of data. It'll tell you their Facebook page, their LinkedIn page, their Twitter account, their company, their country, where they're from. And that's not just for, you know, domains that are fairly obvious. That includes Gmail accounts sometimes. Isn't that wild, Jess?
That's completely crazy.
And so you don't need a lot of information. If you really want to know who they are, there are tools out there like Clearbit API that you can download that data. You can put it into a Google Sheets, and then using the Clearbit API module, you can actually append additional information. So I agree. If you can put in a, you know, use your Facebook profile, right? You know, check out with your Facebook profile, and it's one button that'll fill in the fields that you need, that captures the information that you need. By all means, do that, because that purchase page, folks, is probably, I don't want to say the most important because there's so many the most important pages on a site, but that's the voting mechanism that will tell you how well you are doing, okay? It's like going to the ballot box, right, folks? I mean, that is the vote that somebody says, what you have said has inspired me to give you my money. And I think that's one of the ultimate votes in a business. And do you really want to make that ballot so complicated that people are like, well, I don't even want to care about this anymore? So I really think the more that you can focus on the least amount of fields possible, what is the least amount of information that we can absolutely ask someone and still be able to transact business with them? That's the goal.
Agreed. And besides, you can always ask for more later.
Of course. And certainly on the thank you page, right? I mean, going back to how we started the conversation, the thank you page may be a great way to append it in there. For example, we all ask for email addresses on that actual purchase page, right? Where we say, okay, give us your information, create up an account, put in your password, whatever. Maybe just instead ask for their cell phone number. Especially on the thank you page. I mean, that would be a good place to put it in. But you could also come in and ask for it on the purchase page because we live in a mobile world right now, don't we? I mean, you know, how many times do you have to put in your, try to remember your email address and password you use for XYZ random site where maybe just asking instead for their cell phone number so that when they go to log in, you just text them their passcode to get into it. I mean, this is the type of thinking I think that people need to do more of when they look at that actual checkout page, that purchase page, that place where they are. Make it simple. What am I buying? Can I trust you with the information that I have? What is the least amount of information that I can put in there and still make this successful? Can I use my PayPal account? Can I use my Amex card or my Visa card, right? And then the moment that they click that buy button, by all means, finish the experience with a thank you page that intrigues them. A thank you page that it was unexpected in its delivery of something new that they didn't have before. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we want to feel good about what we just did with you. We don't want to feel like we just got, you know, in a sham of some sort, right? Well, it's, hey, you're now on our spam list and we don't have a security certificate and we're going to annoy the hell out of you. And hey, thank you, click here, right? Really put some thought into that. Because at the end of the day, that is how people vote. That's how they vote for your business. And that's really what it comes down to. That purchase page is the ballot that says, I am voting for you and I want to be a part of what you have. And I'm going to exchange my money in return for what you have. Why don't you just make it easy for them? That's what I think.
And when you really hit it out of the park, that's when the word of mouth comes.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Absolutely. And again, you know, it's one of those things that you invest time in because you're right. When you start to hit it big, when it comes in, and that's a great point, Jess, actually, because I always use the saying, thank you for bringing that up. I can destroy almost any business by giving them a front page article in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, right? I mean, think about it. If you're that big and you suddenly get, or you're on Shark Tank or one of those other, you know, shows out there, you can destroy a business pretty easily because they're not prepared for the influx of sales that will come to them from that vast exposure, right? And the only thing that's going to be the saving grace is that purchase page is as seamless as possible. Because you feel terrible if you suddenly have some big blog site write about you and everybody's coming in and they're buying what you have and they hit that purchase page and they're like, oh man, really? A cart? Really? A cart?
Seriously.
So I think at the end of the day, this is probably one of the more important investments that you can make in any digital goods site, any membership site, is really thinking about not just that product page and the call to action to the purchase page, what is on there, and then what happens after that. If you can really spend some time on those two pages and really make it as seamless as possible, then you know what? It's not going to be a lack of sales because of your purchase page. It's going to be a lot of sales because you made it easy for people to buy. So just
amen.
Closing thoughts for this episode. And again, very detailed, very nuanced. So for those that stuck through the end, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're truly serious about excelling. And because God knows this is one of those really nuanced conversations. So.
Yeah. For my closing thoughts, it would be, you know, if you don't trust yourself to grade your own paper, ask a friend to look at your checkout process and have them point out where you can improve.
Oh, the best parting thought. That was worth the entire episode right there. Get third-party validation, somebody outside to really come through and see. That is absolutely perfect. Jess, once again, thank you. Thank you for such a great episode. And folks, as you enjoy this holiday season, I truly hope that you take these shows and put them to work so that you will have a prosperous new year as we come into 2017. And that's it for Jess and I. We'll catch you on the next episode of Members Only.